your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on Tuesday night. And this is Heidi, and I don't know if we have Stephanie on. She may not be on. Sounds like she's not on. So welcome, everybody. Hopefully we'll get Stephanie back. We have a pretty massive thunderstorm going on this evening, and Stephanie has been kicked off of the show or pre-show multiple times. So I'm assuming that she is going to hop back on here any second. But welcome, everybody, and hopefully it's all fine and dandy where you are tonight. We're excited we have a fun topic that we like to talk about. We haven't talked about it for a while, actually. And so I know Stephanie will be making her way back on because this is one of her favorite topics to talk about. But I had a couple of things that I wanted to share with folks that if you wanted to check out a piece of evidence, I did a paranormal investigation a few weeks ago. The second I was at a elementary school, and I went there two nights a week apart, and it was a class, so I think there was like eight folks in the class, and I posted a piece of evidence on the MPRS Facebook page, Minnesota Paranormal Research Society Facebook page, and this is one of the things that if you want to go check it out, I thought it was pretty cool. We were doing a ghost box, I guess, you know, session, and that's where you use the spirit box, the SB7, and then hook it into the, not the ghost box, the geoport, excuse me. So we had it hooked into the geoport so we could all hear it, and I believe it was when we were in the gymnasium, which this elementary school that we have investigated multiple times has a ton of activity. We're guessing some of it's just attributed to the land because it really is, there's no tragedies. The school was built in the 60s. Not much was on the property before that, from my understanding. Anyway, so it was pretty, it's just pretty active. And so we've been doing multiple investigations there. And this last time that we were there, we had somehow gotten on the conversation of cars. We were talking about cars. I'm not sure if we were talking about our cars or favorite cars or what we wanted, if we dream cars. Anyway, we started asking anybody that was present, spirits, if they wanted to talk through the geoport, hey, let us know what your favorite car is or what your dream car would be. And through the geoport, we heard the word black and then a word that we couldn't identify. And it was so fast the way it happened. And so our investigator, Amy, listened to it later. And she brought it to us on the second night of the investigation. It was black convertible. And I thought that was pretty interesting. With the geoport, that is hooked into the SB7, which is scanning radio frequencies, for those of you if you're not familiar with the SB7. And so it sits and scans radio frequencies at a certain rate. And so to interact with us, it's a couple of ideas are that spirits are using the actual radio stations to communicate by pulling out words that are being said through the radio stations, or they're just using the white noise and the energy frequency to communicate and saying their own words. So either way, it's pretty cool. And We talk a lot and we ask a lot of questions. And so when you get something like this that really feels like an absolute direct communication, it's pretty cool. So we were pretty excited about that. So I did put that on Facebook, and that's on my group, Minnesota Paranormal Research Society, MPRS Facebook page. You can go check it out. Give us a comment if you like, if you like to hear, if you liked it. We have some more evidence that we obtained from that same investigation. We're going to be posting on that same page. And anytime we get in evidence from any of the investigations that we've done, I try and post them on that Facebook page. So, oh, and I think Stephanie is back with
us. I'm here.
Hi, Steph. Welcome.
We'll see if it works. We had a big crack of thunder and everything went dark. So, well, what a storm we're having in Minnesota, people. Can I just say, this is
yeah,
crazy.
I was telling him, I said, well, we lost Stephanie just as we were getting started. So, anyway, we are, I was just sharing one of the things that I wanted to share, and I don't think I told you the story, and I won't repeat it now, but it's just a piece of evidence that I posted on Facebook from an investigation. It was really awesome. One other thing that I was going to talk about, because I have all sorts of stuff to talk about. If you disappear like a puff of smoke, I probably have 1,000 things I can talk about. But we did a UFO investigation.
I saw that. I saw that on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. It was our pre-investigation kind of walkthrough. And so we're pretty excited to go back. It seems very legit. And it's been interesting how many of us have had interesting, weird experiences since first contact with this client. So, we're going to go back hopefully pretty soon. And we're going to do an overnight outside.
Oh, awesome. That's even cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. So this house has had, in this location, she went outside at 3-something in the morning and felt compelled to go get up, walk outside immediately and look up, and straight up above her was some kind of craft over her house.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. So
it'll be good if you see something. You know, Jerry and I did that last year at this farm in Wisconsin where they were seeing UFOs all the time, too. And it was definitely a weird factor there. We didn't see anything. But, you know, we'll probably go back there again this year before Elmwood's big days. But it's fun. It's totally out of the realm of what we normally do. You know what I mean?
Yep. And so that's why I thought it was kind of cool. And it kind of fits in. You know, I think of us in the Squatchers with more of like the cryptid.
Right.
You know, research. And, you know, so I like expanding a little bit and doing a little bit more than, you know, just, you know, paranormal investigating or Sasquatch. You know, it's like, well, whatever, what all is out there? You know, I want to look at all of it. So
you got to do it all, you know, and Sam has always, we've always done all of it. So it is very fun, I got to say, to expand into all these different areas and to do investigations. And, you know, it's just fascinating is what it is. Really.
It is fascinating. So
I'm discombobulated. So I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I can't see you though. So
I
gonna know, have to
I don't know
here.
Why. Now I moved to a different room in the house because I thought maybe the internet was better here. But, you know, if the weather's bad, then it will just go down anyway. So it doesn't really matter where I'm sitting. So, but hopefully this works. So you went on this, so you went there, and you're going to go back for like a whole overnight investigation in depth kind of thing. So,
we're going to, basically with that kind of stuff, you hurry up and wait, you know?
Yes.
You go sit and wait and hope something happens. And if it doesn't, you go back and do it again.
And
she's had quite a few experiences throughout her life. And not close together, just really big gaps in between and but really fascinating and missing time when it happens, you know, and not always by herself. That she's had an experience with another person where she had, they were driving in a car and had about 15 miles of missing time.
Wow.
And ended up going a direction they wouldn't have normally gone.
And we hear that often. So these people that we've interviewed in Wisconsin talk about lost time all the time. Like they were going somewhere that would normally take 15 minutes and 3 hours later, they arrive there. So where are they going during that time?
And how did they? Yeah. I mean, and I get how people can zone out when they're driving and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, where am I? How did I get here? But it's different when you think about it and you go, oh God, I really zoned out. You know, you zoned out. But if you just absolutely don't remember anything and you have no idea how you got where you are, that's kind of scary. So
I know. Yeah. And it happens more often than you think with these people, witnesses that have seen these things, you know. Yeah. And remember when we had Jean Jean on our radio show, and I can't, for the life of me, can't think of her last name right now. Jean Walker, you know, and she's with MUFON, and she talked about that too, losing all kinds of time and things were crazy, and, you know, so yeah, it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Yep.
So, all right. So
onward and upward.
I know. So hopefully we'll get this show in regardless of this crazy thunderstorm that's happening here. So we have one of our favorite topics and one of our listeners' favorite topics, which is time travel. Tonight is our subject. And we have Dave Andries on the phone with us. Hi, Dave.
Hey, girls. How's it going?
Good.
Good to have you.
You know, and I know it's really storming over there too. So if we suddenly lose you, maybe it'll just be Heidi talking tonight. I don't know.
Well, I keep getting booted out of the chat room. My internet keeps failing. So who knows?
I know. You know, you just, it's the craziest thing ever. This list. And now Bobo wants attention too. So, oh goodness.
Well, I'm excited about the topic tonight. And I know you guys, have talked quite a bit, and you talked previous to the show. So, if you're still there, Steph, did we lose you? We might have lost her again.
No, I'm here.
Oh, there she is. Okay, good.
I was just trying to take care of business with little Boo Boo Kitty, and you know, Dave was just here the other night, so he knows how Boo Kitty is. She's relentless when she wants something, and she wants to be on the show. She hasn't been on the show for a while, so there we go, everyone. Here's Boo Boo Kitty. So time travel. So, you know, one of my favorite stories that we talked about the last time we dedicated the whole hour to time travel was about that gentleman who wrote the books and talked about time travel. And I can't for the life of me remember his name, Dave. Can you tell us what it is?
Yeah, I had notes for this show and I'm going to just set them over there. And the gentleman we're referring to is a man by the name of Mike Markham.
Oh, that's what it is. Yep.
And Mike originally built a small Jacob's ladder, and the arcs were going and so forth. And there was a small hole in this energy. So he threw like a screw through it and it vanished.
Mm-hmm.
And
when was this?
This had to be 98.
Okay.
That era.
I remember hearing this story. I think we might have talked about it too on the.
We might have.
Yeah.
So this thing vanished, and a few hours later, reappeared. So Mike thought, okay, well, let's build a bigger one.
Yeah.
So he borrowed some transformers. See that the kitty knows. He borrowed some transformers to build a much larger version. Out on his front porch, something designed for a human to be able to go through. And when he fired it up, the whole neighborhood went black. So needless to say, his borrowing was soon discovered and Mr. Markham went to jail.
Whoops.
Yep. He wound up on the Art Bell show, not once but twice, to talk about things that had gone on. Now, while he's in jail, a lot of funding came in. A lot of funding came in, warehouse space, money to buy what he needed to build a very large version of this. And suddenly Mr. Markham vanished. Now we don't know up until that point if he went to jail, if he disappeared. Of course, the joke wasn't where is Mike, but rather when is Mike?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there were rumors that circulated. Later, there are stories being told that during the renovation of an old house, they came across some newspapers that were shoved in the wall, because that's what they used for insulation before.
Right.
And they came across a news story where they had found a large, like a very large cylinder-shaped object on a beach that had the charred remains of a human inside that appeared to be holding what may have been a cell phone.
Oh, and that was what year, Dave? Because it was like 100 years ago or something, correct?
Like 1920 something or another.
Mm-hmm.
It was the newspaper. Now, Was it? Who knows?
That's wild. And where was he?
Where was this found? This cylinder thing with the charred remains with a cell phone in his hand?
I don't recall the city, but okay. I recall the story.
And it was on a beach somewhere, right?
It was on a beach. The cylinder was charred. The inside of it was charred, and there was somebody inside of it, and they were unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. And they had what may have been the remains of a cell phone in their hand.
So my question is this: what did they do? I want to know what they did with the cylinder shaped object and the charred remains, because maybe in this day and age we could do some kind of DNA testing, and we must have something of this Mike Markham, you know, be it a relative or something that we could compare the DNA to and see if it really was him. You know what I'm saying? Well, wouldn't that be awesome?
I've since found an article that tells what happened to Mike Markham.
Oh.
I didn't know this information was out there, and I was doing some research. And as it turns out, at least per a magazine article, that he actually built a human-sized version of what he was dealing with on the front porch. And went through it.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to remember exactly where the... Let me see if I can find this real quick. And he found himself... Let me see now. He went missing for 2 years is what happened. When he came to... He was unconscious. When he came to... And it wasn't, he didn't actually go missing. I mean, he didn't go missing, but he found himself 2 years in the future and 800 miles away from where he went through the gate. And he ended up going into a mental hospital for a while. And according to the story, he slowly recovered his memory, but not all of it. And apparently he's backed away from this type of thing due to lack of funding. And just an average person, you know, not doing anything along these lines anymore. But according to the article, he's just now out there and he surfs the net periodically and whatever else.
Hmm. So he is alive. Well,
apparently, at least according to the article, he is.
Hmm. Do we believe the article, though? I mean, is it from a reputable source?
Nexus Magazine.
Oh.
How reputable are they? I mean, that's...
Okay. Well, bummer. So who do we think is in the cylindrical thing with a body with a... Maybe it was an alien. Maybe it was a UFO then.
Well, but the theory of time travel has been around for...
I know.
All of time, if you will.
Right.
And the other thing you find is that even ancient carvings show things that shouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got there was a sculpture in the temple in India that showed a man sitting on a bicycle. Okay, well, the bicycle's only been around 200 years. And it's very clear what he's sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it come from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, it's not quite the Hollywood version where, you know, Hollywood had a blast with this, and they obviously still do. And you had, you know, the final countdown where the aircraft carrier goes through the storm. Ironically enough, there's a storm tonight. And they wind up in Pearl Harbor just before the U.S. gets involved with the Japanese planes coming in. And then you've got, what was it? What was the other one that was about the same time? Philadelphia Experiment, is that right?
Oh, yeah, the Philadelphia Experiment. Mm-hmm. That was going on about the same time.
Yeah, two guys wind up going to another time period. And of course, who could forget, you know, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Mm-hmm.
George Carlin gave him quite a ride.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, Hollywood's had a blast with this. Science has had a blast with it. Einstein essentially, with his works, proved that time travel toward the future is possible.
But not towards the past.
Well, not toward the past, but there's been a lot of theories leaning that way. And, of course, the whole big thing was, what if you could go back in time and, you know, do this or that? And the big thing was, we'll kill Hitler's grandparents or whatever, so he'd never exist. And the theories are pointing more toward along the lines that you could go back in time, but you couldn't alter anything. You'd essentially be an observer.
Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't be able to interact with your surroundings.
You wouldn't be able to change things like it's been theorized that you could. So Back to the Future, you know, they did whatever it was that they did in all three or four movies. But yeah, mm-hmm. that wouldn't necessarily be possible. You just go back and be able to see your, you know, go see yourself do something or watch. You couldn't intervene to stop anything from happening.
You couldn't. So would you kind of be like a spirit?
See, that was something mm-hmm. that I thought about as well. Is,
mm-hmm.
okay, let's say, in fact, Steph and I were talking about this the day before.
Yeah. That
I said, okay, well, let's say that you went back in time, and there you see yourself playing in your room. And then, let's say you accidentally, you know, bump into something. Okay, the small you couldn't see the you of now. But you could see the evidence, or maybe they could.
Right.
So it lends another dimension to, what are these apparitions? Could they be visitors from another time coming back to observe?
It's an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so yeah, it would not be like, you know, Back to the Future where here I am myself looking at myself as a 7-year-old kid or what, you know what I'm saying? But you're like invisible like a spirit. And okay, so what if you knocked a lamp over or something? Well, okay. So maybe some of the things that we see, maybe they're really not spirits. Maybe they're people coming back to look at us from the future. Let's think about that. Mm-hmm. And so another thing that I've heard, and Heidi, you've been there too. So many of us paranormal investigators have been down to the schoolhouse down in Iowa, for our schoolhouse.
Yep.
And there's that room in the basement that's like a furnace room or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the caretaker there talks about how there's a ghost in there and that some famous paranormal investigator, a TV personality, and I can't remember who, it was not someone I'm familiar with, was there. And this ghost, this spirit to this man seemed like it was an older version of this caretaker. And he said, so what if it's you after you've died coming back now? And looking at all of that. Okay, that's freaky. I mean, that's freaky, right? So that would be like if my older self was visiting me somewhere else. And this was what this person had said. So this is what triggered my memory of that. Because I'm like, okay, that's just kind of messed up. I don't think I can get my head around that one, you know? But same thing, right? It's all kind of tied into the same whole thing where if you could go back in time, you wouldn't be able to be physical. You wouldn't be physically there. You'd be like a voyeur or something, correct? That's what I'm thinking. And you could see these things and, you know, maybe move things around, but people wouldn't see you, or you'd be in a different dimension mm-hmm. so that they couldn't see you, you know?
Right. This also been theorized. You have a lot of people that talk about when they have CE5s, the Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, that they're being told that these beings are not from another planet, but they're from our future. They're us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes you wonder how we went from this to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's quite mind-boggling, actually, I think. It's kind of too much for me. It's fascinating, nonetheless, though. I mean, what if this is true?
I don't know. I think it's interesting to think about because, you know, as paranormal investigators, we see so many different things, or it's possible, you know, that we've seen so many different things. And, you know, we have all these experiences. And, you know, it's one of those things you try and sort out, like, why are we able to communicate with some spirits and not rest of them? Because being a sensitive, I see there's a ton and I can feel a ton, but we can't communicate with them all and not all the time. So what makes them different? You know, and I understand that some are just at a different vibration or stronger than others or whatever, but if we start sorting them out, that they're not all just, you know, spirits without body, you know, that some of them are still living in a different time, in a different dimension, I don't know, different, you know. And then we, there's so many different ways that this could go, and it would make sense though, you know, as a paranormal investigator, why there's so many beings, but you can't necessarily interact or communicate with some of them.
Well, yeah. Well, and so Timepiece on the chat room is saying, is calling them ancestors of the future. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah. That's a good phrase there. Yeah. I mean, it's really, when you think about it, wow. I mean, it's amazing, actually.
Yeah,
I don't know what to think about this.
You wonder where, like, if, okay, so let's say someone does time travel, they come back, and they're not in body, so then where is their body while they're doing this, and then how do they get back if they don't have a, they don't have a system, because they got out with a system, didn't they? I mean, that's like this guy made this Jacob's ladder thing. You know, what? How do you get back then? Unless it's because you don't have a body that you can get back.
Right, his body went with him. He walked through that.
No, I know.
And
but I just,
my question is, how did those? How did he shield himself from all that energy? Because you'd think it would fry him.
Weird thing.
How did he?
Well, maybe that's why he ended up crumpled up in a tin can in the wall, because...
But he actually, no, they're saying that he actually...
Oh, that wasn't him, that's right.
No, no, we have absolutely no idea what the explanation for that is at this point, since this magazine claims that he's alive and well.
And living as a kind of a reclusive life, because he doesn't want anything to do with this.
Right, in fact, I would even go as far as say, Mike Markham, if you're listening... Whether it's now or when this is a future broadcast, come into the chat room and chat with us. Tell us about your experience.
Absolutely. I would wonder if it would just, because, you know, there's certain things that, I mean, I just wonder if it, you know, he doesn't want to talk about it because he, like you said, you end up in a mental hospital. I mean, this is beyond our, it's not that it's beyond our understanding, but it's maybe beyond our experience. You know, ability to experience it and not have some kind of break, because, you know, there's so many things that I've, when Tim and I have worked together and have asked Spirit Guide about certain things, and we get an answer like, you don't have the capacity to understand the answer. And I'm like, well, just tell us in words. He goes, you don't have a basket that I can even put it in. It's like, that's his words. That's how he says it. He goes, you don't even have a basket I can put it in. And we're like, well, just say it some way. And he looks at us like we're stupid. And apparently we are, because we keep asking the same question. He's like, I don't have anywhere I can put it. You don't understand. You're not, no one on this planet is at a place that we can even have this conversation. So I wonder, you know, if we're talking about this time travel too, you know, if something did happen where you, you know, transferred somewhere and then you came back, if you are almost out of your mind when you come back, that you, because you can't, we're not ready to handle that kind of stuff, or we don't have the capacity to handle it yet. So I don't know, I just wonder, you know, if I'd love for him to jump in our chat room or talk to us, you know, join us on a show and just say whatever he wants to say about it, good, bad, or ugly, I don't care.
Yeah,
because I'd love to find out, you know, what the experience was like.
I mean,
and
that's
I wonder
just
too, maybe he wasn't, when he came back, like I said, apparently his memory was shot. But he was able to, apparently, according to the article, was able to recover most of it. So he has the science, and apparently it works. So, I mean, the rumors were for a long time that when he was in jail, a lot of these donations came in from a major auto manufacturer that was all for the development of this science. And to me, that would stand to reason, because you get a major, easy for me to say, major auto manufacturer that can get a scientist that can do this. And all of a sudden, not only do they have the latest automobile, they have the first time machine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the market cornered. And before you know it, you know, they've got it privatized and people are now able to take vacations in 2087 or 1823, whichever way you want to go with it.
Right. Just like back to the future.
except minus the ability to
interact
with people and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then, too, when we were talking about the concept of them not having a body, which also beckons the concept of a multiverse. Right. Because maybe it isn't time that they're traveling through, but space.
Right.
So are we at some point in time then able to pick a dimension and go through it?
Yes.
And if so, do you get a choice where you go, or you just wind up where you wind up?
God, I mean, the possibilities are endless, you guys. I mean, let's think about this. But it doesn't sound like you're able to just, you know, so there's been a lot of Hollywood movies about time travel. And you know what? We've already gone through half of our hour here. I'm looking at the time, so.
Yeah, we got to take a break and then we can come back keep spinning around this.
Oh, yes, because it's just fascinating. So stay with us, everyone, and we will be back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering on Para X.
Haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction.
We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para X.
Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention?
Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para X.
Welcome back to The Gathering here on the Para X Network. We are talking about time travel tonight and getting our brains all twisted into pretzels.
Exactly. Spinning. Steffi's mind is going like a top.
Yeah, it's really interesting, but it does make my head spin a little bit.
Oh gosh, yeah.
It's like going through a wormhole or a rabbit hole or something. So, yeah.
Yeah. It really is. And you know, the other thing, so we're talking about. So, it's thought that perhaps if we could go through some time machine or get in the past, we wouldn't be able to interact with people. That we would maybe be in a different dimension. This is what, for any of you who are just joining the show now. We've talked about this and that you would almost like a voyeur or a spirit or something. So the Hollywood movies, you know, like Back to the Future, we love Back to the Future. You know, you could go back there and you're in the Old West and, you know, you're falling in love with people. Well, that's not going to happen. And there's been so many Hollywood movies like that. You know, there was that one that was called Somewhere in Time. That was a really good one, too. That was based on Mackinac Island, remember? And it was somebody who went back. And that was a fabulous movie, too. But bummer to think that so you couldn't really actually do that, you know? I think, I don't know, whatever. It's the romantic in me.
Well, yeah, I don't know how, I mean, especially because if you're going back in time, I don't know how that would work if you existed when you're going back to that time. Like, how would that work?
Well, yeah.
I mean, it would make sense if you don't have a body, but then what about your soul? And I understand a soul can separate and fracture and all those things. So is that what happens, you know, is part of you there and part of you here? Because your soul split, you know, and maybe that's why that Mike guy had such a problem when he came back, is maybe some of him fractured.
You think maybe part of him's still there?
Possible.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what we see as paranormal investigators. You know, we see him as paranormal investigators. We think it's a spirit and it's really a fractured soul. From another time or current time or whatever. I've seen it from a current time. I've seen a fractured soul that was thought to be a spirit, and it wasn't. It was a fractured soul of a woman that was still living.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be interesting, though, to come face-to-face with a modern-day version of yourself?
Wait, say that again? I'm reading the chat room, and I'm listening at the same time.
Wouldn't it be interesting to come face-to-face with a modern-day version of yourself?
A modern day version.
Not, I'm saying that the you that split, that fraction, you come face to face with that part of yourself.
Oh, that'd be weird.
What would, I mean, what would be your first words?
OMG. Oh my God, what are you doing here?
I'd say, get back here.
Am I doing here?
Yeah.
Get back
here.
Oh my
gosh. Is this why I'm so crazy these days? You come back in here now, because I need you.
You know, they talk a lot about, too, as far as what would work as far as a time machine. And, of course, the movie The Time Machine, you had this fancy deal that H.G. Wells created and whatnot. And they talk, you know, we saw the DeLorean doing 88 miles an hour and boom, you're gone. And But I was reading an article in a magazine a while back, and they talked about the most likely scenario would be something along the lines of a Stargate, an actual gate where you walk through. And they said, too, that if you walked through that gate, and exactly 24 hours later, you came back through, no one on either side would remember you, because you'd be locked in that perpetual loop forever.
That's scary. Who said that?
You'd live it over and over and over again.
Who said that?
With no memory of it happening.
I mean, that would be really sad, right? It would be like a haunting, a residual haunting, only it's you just doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again because you can't get out.
And I don't think you'd be cognizant of the fact that you were doing it over and over and over again.
No, but, gee, maybe that's what a residual haunting is. Well, I mean, you never know. This is like, you know, this is really mind-boggling, actually, you know, to think about all this. Kat saying, you know, if you, okay, so Kat's question is this: if you astral travel, do you believe you split your soul to do it, or would you freak, figure it's a doppelganger? Right?
Well, in astral travel, you're not splitting.
No, you're just leaving your body and going on a walkabout, kind of, sort of. Right. Yeah.
I mean, you're still connected to your body, but
you're not leaving the time either, are you?
No, I don't think so.
You're not what?
Leaving
this
time.
No. I mean, well, I shouldn't say no, because I don't know. In astral travel, you, I mean, sure, I suppose, because there's no, I guess, when I've done it, I guess I don't know if I've always been in this time or not. I guess I assumed I was, but when I do remote views, I'm not always.
The question then becomes, is time relevant only in this dimension because we have such an emphasis, or we put such an emphasis on it? And it's, you know, time in terms of seconds, minutes, days, that type of thing, seems to be rather unique to human beings. The squirrels outside, they don't know what day it is. They don't know if it's 5:15 or 6:20. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But time still goes for them.
Mm-hmm.
They know if it's nighttime. They know if it's time to start gathering. They know if it's time to build a big insulated nest or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But human beings are pretty focused on, you know, what's the time, is it, what's going on, what time do we have to do this, what time do we have to be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that still exists once you break free of this dimension.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and don't you think we're so cognizant of time because we have so little here as humans, right? I mean, maybe our soul goes on to another body and another time, but right now, this is all we have. So we have to run around, do this, that, and the other thing. And so, oh my gosh. But wouldn't it be fun to go somewhere and just not have to worry about time?
When you depart from this body, do you move forward? Or does you straight have the option of moving back? Because some people say that if you don't learn your lessons in this lifetime,
mm-hmm.
you go back and repeat it until you get it right.
Right. I have heard that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. Heidi, what do you think?
Oh, I'm thinking about a million things because I'm also reading the chat room. Yeah, it's, and I've heard that theory too about going backwards and repeating the same thing. And I don't think I think that could be true because, you know, we need to stop thinking of time in such a linear format because that's not true. And once we stop thinking of time as a linear path, then everything's up for possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you keep screwing it up, or you, not that you screw it up, but make different choices next time, you know, why wouldn't you go back and do it again?
Yeah.
You know, sure, go and do it again as many times as you want, you know, because it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just saying it. I'm not saying I think that that's how it works every time or that it does work. I don't know. I'm just saying that possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I want to put this out to the chat room. Has anybody ever had an experience where they experienced deja vu, but they remember what they did the last time? And did you change it this time? And nothing comes up in the chat room.
No, I know. Everything is just quiet. Everybody's thinking. I don't know that I have. You, Dave, you're posing the question. So has that happened to you?
I believe it has. I have been in situations where time has caught up with itself. And I've gone, have I been here before? What did I do last time?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of, I'm not, I obviously can't be the only one. Maybe I just read too far into deja vu.
Yeah, I don't know. I think about deja vu and I don't know, because I think when it happens, I'm kind of startled, you know? So I don't know that it's enough of a clip of memory that I had an option to do something different. It was like, oh, this moment right now, it's already happened, or I have a memory of it happening, but it doesn't give me enough to do something different because it's already done. By the time I realize it, it's already been done, at least for me. Right. And I've asked my spirit guide about it too. And he said that deja vu is more of like a soul check-in, where it's your soul's way of saying, this is where you need to be right now. Good, bad, or other, it doesn't matter. It's just, you're where you need to be right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting.
We have them so often. And it can catch you off guard. You know, you can be in the car driving somewhere. You know, you're on a road trip somewhere, and it's like, oh, my God, I feel like this. I've done this before, you know, and you've never been there, you mm-hmm. know, that you can remember, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. It's very cool, very interesting. But we do have some comments. If anybody has a comment about this, you know, please write it in the chat room. But, you know, people are saying, like Kat, for example, is asking, if you were in the past or the future, would you cease existing in the now? So if we were to somehow to get in the past or in the future, either one, would our bodies and ourselves not be here? Like, would Stephanie not be here right now? Would I be actually physically there, or just my mind, or, you know, whatever?
For Markham's experience, as documented, they say he vanished. He went missing for 2 years.
Yeah.
So he physically left this time and went to the future and somehow through that portal, if you will, managed to get 800 miles away from where he was. So not only did he travel time, just to travel distance. One shot. So that tells me that you don't get a choice where you wind up.
Yes.
At least he didn't.
Yes.
Yes. Or perhaps even when.
And I want to know how he got back here. I mean, he came back broken and crazy and didn't have his memory and stuff, but how did he come back? I mean, how does that work? I mean, you know, like, you know, and of course, then, you know, Back to the Future, they had the DeLorean and they set it at a certain time and, you know, whatever, then they got back there. But did he have something similar? I mean, you know, Back to the Future has been out for 20 years, so maybe it kind of had been out for a good decade before these all things happened, correct? So maybe he had some kind of something. Maybe that cell phone that he had in his hand, or that is contemplated, because cell phones were out back in them days. They were those huge ones, but maybe he was able to, you know, make it so that he could come back. You know, I want to go 20 years in the future, but I also want to come back here after 10 minutes or something, or a year, or, you know, whatever, a month.
Mm-hmm. Now, one other thing to keep in mind is that Mike Markham was 21 years old when he did this.
Mm-hmm.
He's, I mean, a young adult, a very young adult.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he had 40 years or 50 years of science.
Right.
To build this. He, you know, genius at least.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Unless he's done it in a different lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And was able to remember.
Yeah.
And that's been theorized too, that sometimes people come back and they can recall a previous lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Now that could also branch off into a, once upon a time there was a theory of something called the soul chip. And it came about due to the fact that we were looking at traveling to other planets and so forth, and what would we do when Earth's resources were exhausted, we'd have to leave. But it would take several generations to get from point A to point B. And obviously you can't cram that much education into people, and their lifespan isn't going to go that far. So how would you do that? And the theory came up, or the theory was devised, of something called a soul chip, which was essentially a microchip that would be implanted into your skull behind your eye, and somehow everything you saw and did was recorded or downloaded. And when you passed on, that chip could be removed from your skull and implanted into a child, and they would have all your memories and all your knowledge, and then learn from there, and this would continue.
Hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was a trip.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, but it explains how someone can come in and play, you know, symphonies on the piano at three, four years old.
Right. Right. Yes. Exactly. I mean, how does that even happen? You know? It's fascinating.
Right.
See, I'm thinking, we're all thinking about this because we're all getting quiet now.
I know, which is not good for radio.
This is a radio show. We have to keep talking.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because...
I do too.
There's just, again, it's like you kind of go down the rabbit hole with this because there's so many different directions you could go from one topic.
Yeah.
You know, we start branching off into these other topics and these, you know, soul travel kind of stuff. And it's like, oh my goodness.
I know. But it could be just about anything, actually, you know?
Well, who's to say that time travel is exclusive to the physical?
Yes.
As we've explored, it's possible that once your spirit leaves this body, you may have a choice in which direction you go.
Yeah. I worked with a gal when I was doing a Reiki session, and I can't remember who it was, but she loved the Renaissance period. And I was like, you really kept going back, like over and over and over. You know, she would reincarnate and go and go and go and go. Because she, that was, you know, she loved that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so she reincarnated there often.
So you're saying that when we die in this lifetime, that our soul has the ability to, you know, either jump, you know, come into this time or go back in time to where our favorite time was.
Or forward. This might be back for... You know, we might be back right now.
Mm-hmm. True.
I mean, if you think about reincarnating, you could have reincarnated to this time, which could have been backwards. If we have a linear format, you know, this could be backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because if time isn't linear, then reincarnating would be any time, so to speak, any place. It doesn't have a linear path. So you reincarnate anywhere, anytime, because there's no order or linear path to follow. Mm-hmm. It's just wherever you're going to learn the lesson for whatever it is that you need to work on next. So if you keep coming back here and doing the same thing, that's cool. If you go backwards because that's going to be the better experience for this or whatever, I don't know. Why not?
Wow.
You don't get to jump into the phone booth and dial in the year and hop on that circuit and decide where you're going to go. That path may be pre-chosen for you. Or perhaps completely random.
Exactly. My goodness.
I know, right? Spinning.
Listen to me. I'm just like,
but we had it. Yeah, I think it's cool. And I mean, I don't know. I just, like, I think of even just doing a remote view when I do that. I don't always go, I don't stay here necessarily in this time or what I think is this time right now, you know, because I'll go into a location that has activity, you know, through my remote viewing, and it won't be a current time. It'll be a different time.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, I'm sure that that's like a simplified version, but it's kind of like time travel.
Well, see, that's also been theorized that remote viewing is potentially a form of time travel. And I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name, and it escapes me at the moment. But he's rather well known in the science community, and he discussed this very theory, that remote viewing doesn't necessarily mean that you are here in this present time. Your subject or location may very well be somewhere else in time.
Yeah. So it's a form of time travel.
It certainly could be. And until someone comes back and tells us it's not, you know, to say it's wrong.
I think it is, but it's... I don't know, I'll just say it's maybe a simplified version, but it's not, because you're not trying to move your body. You're just doing a energy journey. And when I'm doing it, I'm aware of my physical surroundings in my body. I'm not disconnected from my physical body completely.
You still know that you're wherever you are when you started this, you know, your studio, your home, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's, yeah. This is very cool. This is very cool. You know, we could talk about this for hours because we have to stop and think in between, too.
That's not good for radio, but
yeah. Oh, I know, but I think everybody is, and I think anybody listening to this is probably doing the same thing. What? You know, what did they just say? I have to think about this for a minute because, I mean, this is like the concepts are kind of difficult to understand, I think, you know, and hard to get your head around.
Well, and I think once you get your mind around one, you take a sharp right and you go down some other direction and it's, whoa, you got to think about it again and open your mind up further to that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to or not, I guess it depends. But if you want to, it's like, for me, I have to stretch like a lot to try and figure it out sometimes because there's, you know, you just get in these habits of thinking a certain way, you know, mm-hmm. or how you were brought up, this is how it is, or whatever you were told, and
exactly.
you kind of just sit there and until you really start asking questions and expanding it, it takes some time to get flexible.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
I agree.
I can think a lot further than I used to be able to, so I'm grateful for that. But yeah, as soon as you start throwing a new theory in, it's like, oh my goodness, hang on a second, let me figure this one out. Let me get my head around it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Well, you know what, you guys, it's already been an hour. You know, we have 4 minutes left. So, fascinating topic. We will have to revisit it, you know, maybe 6 months down the road again or whatever. Dave, you want to join us? Please do. Maybe we can do a little bit more research and come up with some new things and whatever.
Maybe,
but,
Steph, maybe goodness. We are 6 months down the road right
maybe
now.
Maybe we are. Maybe we
maybe
are.
Maybe this is 6 months down the road.
Remember when we talked about this last time?
Yes. Yes, oh. I do. It's been a long time, though. It's been about a year. It's been over a year since we really talked about time travel on this show. I think it was in the spring of 2018 that we talked about it.
Yeah.
And we keep thinking we're going to go back to it, and then other things come along. And so, yeah, I'm really glad we got the opportunity to do this this week. And, yeah, it's just fascinating. And I think, you know, like a lot of other things, there's no clear-cut answers. And there's no experts in this, you know, we're all just living the dream, right? We're all living and learning and trying to understand and get our heads wrapped around it. And wow, it's fascinating.
That's the beauty of it. There are no concrete answers. There's no right or wrong at this point.
Right.
And at some
right.
point in time, these theories will either be proven or disproven. It will have something
right.
that says, okay, this is how it works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For now, I mean, there's no one that could step in and say, that's not how this works, or yes, it does. And if there is, they're not saying it. And then they're not showing the proof either. So until then, we speculate, we think about it, we guess, we twirl around and, and blue smoke comes out of our ears and it's cool.
And then we shut down because it's too much for us to handle. Yeah, no. Yeah, no, this has been so fun. Dave, thank you so much for joining
us.
Yeah,
thanks for joining
my
us.
My pleasure.
Tonight. Oh, gosh. And I know you did a lot of research because, like I said, we chatted on the phone yesterday or the day before, and we were just going into this and blah, blah, blah. And Dave, I remember you saying, well, now that we've gone through the show, because it is just fascinating. It is just fascinating. So we will do this again soon. But thank you all for joining us. And, you know, if you have any ideas about topics you want us to talk about in the future, you know, please let us know. Drop us a line on Facebook or, you know, send us a message on our website, you know, because we're happy to look into new and bizarre things. You know, time travel is one of them.
Absolutely.
So,
thank you, everybody, for joining. And mm-hmm. Sarge for producing. And Para X, thank you for hosting us, and it was a good night.
Good chat, and don't forget to join the calling tomorrow night with our fellow Squatcher, Kim and Jerry, and I think they're interviewing a paranormal team tomorrow night, so that ought to be a good show, too.
Awesome.
So, anyway, thanks, everyone, for joining. Thanks, Dave, and we will be back here on the same Bat channel and same Bat time in a week.
See you last
night,
week.
Everyone.
See you last week.
Yeah, last week.
Good night, everybody.
Night.